I would invite you to turn to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. This is a rather long psalm. It's 72 verses, but I will assure you that we will only be looking at the first 8 verses. But you should sometime read the rest of Psalm 78, because it will help you as you think through what we're going to share this morning. So as has been said, happy Father's Day. It's a joy to be a father, to be a grandfather, and for me, I'm old enough to be a great grandfather. Incredible, I can hardly imagine. But I was thinking about what is a father, and I looked up a definition, and I Googled it. And by the way, I do know how to do that, even though I am, in my years. And this is a definition that I found, and you might be able to relate to some or all of this definition. A father is an ATM, a garbage man, a chauffeur, a cook. He is a coach, a handyman, a groundskeeper, a storyteller, an exterminator, a bodyguard, a hero, a mentor, and a friend. Now, sometimes when we hear the word father, it can bring up memories that always are not good. Some of us in this room undoubtedly had fathers who did not treat us well. And yet we know we have a heavenly Father who is the ultimate Father, the great Father, the loving Father. A father, a true father, is someone who will give you unconditional love. Our Heavenly Father does that. He'll be there to pick you up when you fall. He will discipline you when you do wrong and counsel you to do right. A father will always have your best interest at heart. He is the rock of the family. And a Christian father will always try to direct you towards the gospel and toward obedience to God's word. Now, I understand and I recognize that not all of you are fathers in this room. And so that leaves out perhaps a sizable number of you, and so you may be thinking already, well, this message is not for me. There's nothing here for me because I'm not a father. So I'm going to widen the circle and suggest to you that this message is not only for fathers, it's for mothers, it's for parents, it's for all of you who have children still living in your home. I want you to pay attention. I want you to listen up and listen carefully. But then I realize that still leaves out a number of you in this room. And so I'm going to widen the circle even greater and say that what we have to say this morning from God's Word is for every single person within the hearing of my voice today in this place. And I'll tell you what I mean, why this is significant for every one of us. And that is because we are the body of Christ. We are the family of God in this place. And as such, every member of the family of God, every part of the body of Christ, has a level of influence on and responsibility for every single member of the family of God in this place. You and I, each one of us in this place who regularly attend to the Word of God at Quinault Baptist Church, have a measure of responsibility and influence on not only the children, but on each other. And so what we have to say this morning applies to every single one of us as members of the body of Christ. And what I want you to feel this morning is the weight of that responsibility. I want you to leave here this morning, I want us all to leave here this morning with the recognition and the realization that we have influence on each other, and for the development of and the nurture of our lives as Christians, we influence each other every Sunday that we gather. You say, well, how does that work? By the very fact that you are here this morning, you are saying to all the rest of us, this is important for me. This is valuable for me. I am here because I recognize how important it is to love God. How important it is to love His Word. How important it is to love the fellowship of God's people. And in that very act of being here on a regular basis and part of the family of God, you are saying to me and you are saying to everyone else, I value you, I value this place, I value the Word of God. And so, in fact, we all have influence and a level of responsibility to each other to be encouraging and blessing the parents and the children and the body of Christ. I want you to, particularly to parents, I want you to think this morning and to leave with the weight of responsibility of the importance of paying attention to the spiritual development of your children. Brothers and sisters, you cannot leave this to the church to accomplish in 1 or 2 hours a day, a Sunday. The culture in which we live is influencing our children to an extensive degree. I don't have to tell you about the things that go on in this world. You know about them. But I need to tell you, and I need for each of us in this room to recognize that we must, as a high priority, pay attention to the spiritual development of our children. We must be those who are faithful in instructing our children in the Word of God. We must be those who recognize and be clear-eyed about the dangerous attitudes that our children begin to exhibit and not just pass them off as a stage that they're going through. It is very important that we recognize that. We need to cultivate meaningful relationships with our children where our homes are filled with grace and mercy and love, and they are filled with the recognition and the teaching of God's Word. They are filled with prayer, where day by day as we live out our lives, we are relating the Word of God to those around us in our homes, in our workplaces, in our church, and all of us here this morning have that, a certain level of responsibility to accomplish that and to do that. We need to be exercising discernment so that our children see the value of loving God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, rather than gaining the whole world and losing their soul. And so I ask you this question. Will our children who are growing up in our homes and attending our church grow up and become those who embrace Christ and follow Him passionately? Will our children who are growing up in our homes, who are attending this church, grow up and become those who embrace Christ and follow Him passionately? I want that question to sink deep into our minds this morning. I want us to be thoughtful about it. And with that in mind, I want us to look at Psalm 78, verses 1 through 8. And if you'll follow as I read our text this morning, because I think this psalm, the first 8 verses of this psalm, offers some very good guidance, some important guidance for those who desire that the children in this church and their children and our children as part of the family of God grow up to love Christ with all their heart and embrace Him passionately. Psalm 78, beginning at verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might and the wonders that He has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise, those children, and tell them to their children. And then watch this transition. This is the purpose for why this needs to be done. So that, purpose, those generations of children and adults should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Let's pray and ask God's grace and mercy and wisdom and teaching upon His word this morning. Father, these things are so, so important. Help us to recognize the importance of them. Help us, Lord, to gain the truth. Help us, Lord, to be serious about these things. And guide us now as we open Your word. Teach us, Father, we pray. And we will be good students and good hearers of the word, so that we might not only hear but do the word. We thank You in Christ's name. Amen. There are two profoundly simple principles that come out of this text. In fact, they are so simple that we would almost overlook them, and we would say when I share them with you, well, that's obvious. But it is so obvious that we might forget, that we might not recognize how significant they are. So here are the two principles. They're profoundly simple. One, we must teach our children the truth of God's word. Teach our children the truth of God's word. And two, we must live the truth that we teach. Profoundly simple, but don't overlook them. Don't pass by them. We must teach our children the truth. And we see this in the first five verses of Psalm 78. Psalm 78, as most of the Psalms, all of the Psalms, are actually classed as the wisdom literature. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, all considered what we call wisdom literature, the wisdom of the Old Testament. And so this psalm, as all of the Psalms, use as a tool parables. And we know about parables because when we study the New Testament, we know that Jesus used parables. And a parable is simply a story that has a meaning that often has to be interpreted. It has to be understood. And so the psalmist here talks about parables and he talks about riddles. And oftentimes when we read the wisdom literature, we have to stop and think, what exactly is the writer saying here? Because it's done in a parable. Jesus used this same way to teach, as you know, from the New Testament. And so the parable here is a study of the history of the children of Israel. So if you were to read the rest of the psalm, verses 9 through 72, you would get a concise picture of what happened in the lives of the children of Israel, how they went through their history. And it talks about how they rejected God, how they were a rebellious generation, how they set up idols and worshiped idols. And it talks about the great wonders and works of God that He performed on their behalf. He opened the Red Sea. He let them march through on dry land. He gave them water from a rock. He gave them manna from heaven to eat. He gave them meat in the desert. He did great wonderful works of power for them. And their reaction was to reject Him and to be idolatrous, to follow after other gods, even when they went into the promised land that God had given them. And so this whole history of Israel is like a parable. It's a riddle. And what should we learn from this parable and this riddle? We should learn to follow God. And that's why he introduces the psalm here in Psalm 78 with these first eight verses about instructing, teaching the truth of God, living the truth of God. And you'll notice how he begins this psalm. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. In other words, set up and take notice, folks. This is very important. Open your ears so that you can hear the message of the psalm, to hear the parable, to hear the riddle, and to understand it. Think about what is being said. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching, because I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old. Things that we have heard and known, watch now, that our fathers have told us. And we're not going to hide these things from our children, but tell them to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might. And so the story of God's people is a story that needs to be told. It's that old, old story of the wonderful deeds of God for Israel and Israel's failure to obey the commands of God. And it points to us the importance of hearing God's word and obeying God's word. The generation of those Israelites who survived in the 40 years of wilderness had come to the promised land. They were at the doorway of the promised land. And Moses gave them some instruction. It's familiar, but we need to look at it again. Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is the instruction that Moses gave to those people as they came to the promised land. Now, this is the commandment, Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. The statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me. I want you to watch these words now. Watch them really carefully. The Lord your God commanded me to teach you that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it. Purpose, that you may fear the Lord your God, you, your son, and your son's son. You see the generations? You, your son, your son's sons, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Now watch verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Now, we're not going to write them necessarily physically on our gates or on our doorways or on our bodies or with a frontlet as the Pharisees did often in the New Testament. But you understand the picture that he's giving you here. That in every part of your life, in every aspect of your life, you are to be teaching your children the Word of God. In every part, in every aspect. Did you catch the intensity and the emphasis of this text? God intends us, His people, to be diligent in teaching our children the truth of God's Word. So what does that mean for parents? What does that mean for you as part of the family of God? Now hear me. What it means is that you and I and every one of us in this room that has the ability to read and understand should become students of the Word of God. We should know our Bibles. We should not be illiterate as Bible-believing people. We should be able to speak the truths of God's Word, whether by memory, as those who memorize the Word of God, or by understanding the truth well enough that it can become a part of our conversation. If we are not learning the Word of God and studying the Word of God and at least reading the Word of God on a daily basis, how can we possibly be diligently teaching others the truth? You know that in the time that I was here preaching regularly, I constantly encouraged you to read through the Bible every year. I hope you do that. in some measure or form. Because, beloved, listen, if we, as God's people who profess to know the truth, are not learning and reading and putting our minds on the truth of the Word of God, how in the world can we expect our children to know the truth? You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be a seminary student. You don't have to know Greek and Hebrew. But you have to know how important it is to diligently read God's Word and then impart that truth in your homes to your children and impart that truth to our children in this church. I want us to catch the weight of that responsibility. I don't want us to be neglectful of that important aspect. I want you to notice the way the psalmist puts it in verse 5. God established a testimony in Jacob. He appointed a law in Israel. Now watch this. Which he commanded our fathers to teach their children that the next generation might know them. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 1, 13 and 14, "Hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching you learned from me, a pattern shaped by the faith and love that you have in Christ Jesus. Through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, watch, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you." And so this word, the Word of God, these scriptures, Psalm 78, Deuteronomy 6, reinforce our responsibility to faithfully pass on the truth of God's Word to our children. And of course, this presupposes that if we're going to pass on truth, if we're going to teach truth, we need to know truth. Don't expect that your children will love God or love His Word if the only place they read or hear the Bible is here. Eliza Spurgeon was the mother of Charles Spurgeon. He was her firstborn. And Charles never forgot, as he grew up, his mother's prayer. And Eliza prayed this, "Now, Lord, if my children go on in their sins, it will not be from ignorance that they perish. And my soul must bear swift witness against them at the day of judgment if they lay not hold of Christ." Now, I understand. I understand as a father, as a grandfather, as a great-grandfather, this is not an easy task. But let me give you some ideas, some help. How do you do this? You're saying to yourself, some of you right now, "I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it." Let me give you a simple idea. It's called catechism. It's a question and answer process that can be used with the youngest of children all the way to the oldest of children. And in fact, parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, you can actually learn as you go. You can learn the truth of God as you instruct your children in the truth of God by using a catechism. And if you need more information about that, talk to some of our pastors. They understand this and they use this in their homes. I know they do. And it can be a great way of instructing your children in the truth of God's Word. Simple, easy way to do it. Let me give you another idea. And I really, really like this idea. And man, it'd be great for parents to do this. You know that the book of Proverbs has 30 chapters. You know that, generally speaking, there are 30 days in a month. You can go through the entire book of Proverbs in 1 month. Wouldn't it be exciting and wonderful for you to sit down with your children and sometime during the day read chapter 1 of Proverbs, the first day of the month, and discuss what is Proverbs saying? How should we understand this? In fact, just listen to the very first words of Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. That's a triggered word today, isn't it? To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the whole book of Proverbs is here so that you might be wise, that your children might be wise, that you might be instructed, that they might be instructed to receive wise understanding in righteousness, living rightly, in justice, how to interact with other people, in equity, to give prudence to the simple, and knowledge and discretion to the youth. I would just exhort you and urge you to use the catechism, use the book of Proverbs. You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be smart. Just take the Word of God and let the Spirit of God work as He can and as He teaches. Now, of course, the responsibility for the formal and direct teaching of God's Word falls heavily on the shoulders of parents. So how does this apply to the rest of us, the rest of the body of Christ? Well, I can tell you one thing that it should happen to us, and that is that we should be praying consistently for the parents and the children in this church. I urge you to do that. I urge you to go through the directory, look at all the families and the children. We have a ton of children here. Praise God, I'm so happy we do. And we need to be praying for them. We, as God's people, need to be holding them up that they would be diligent in teaching their children in this ministry here at the church. And let me give you another idea, how that you and I can all be involved in this process. How about those of you who don't have children in your home now, adopt one of the families who do have children in their home now, and go to them and say, you know, I want to pray specifically for you and your children. Will you help me how to pray? Will you tell me how I can best pray for you as a parent and your children as you raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Do you know how encouraging that would be? For the children in this church and the parents in this church to know that the rest of the body of Christ is praying consistently for them, it will be life-changing. for you and for them. Let's do that. Let's do that. Let's not be afraid of each other. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's be praying for one another. I urge you to think about that and to do that. And so the first principle is to teach your children God's Word, to take it seriously, to formally instruct. The second principle has to do with informal teaching. It's to live the truth that is taught. And that's in verses 7 and 8. So that, Psalm 78, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. We need to tell the story and we need to live the story, to live the truth. We don't need just to be exposed to truth, we need to assimilate that truth, that each succeeding generation will assimilate the truth of God and work it into their lives as we work it into our own lives. I want you to look again really briefly at Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want you to notice what he says here. Verse 1, that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, now watch, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it. Not only to teach it, but to do it, to live it. And he goes on to say, you shall teach them diligently to your children in verse 7. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. That must be what happens in our homes, day by day, day in and day out. We must show with all of our heart, our soul, our mind that we love God. That truth must be on our heart. It is to be known and it is to be practiced. And then when you know the truth, and that truth has been absorbed into your life, into your thinking, into your conversations, then you will be able to take advantage of those teachable moments that come along in your experience. There are so many times when your children give you that opportunity to infuse truth into their life, and they come spontaneously. And that's when we must be ready. We must be ready to infuse the truth. Let me give you a little statement that you can easily remember, and it's so helpful when you think through these things. And that's true of all of us in this room, not just parents. Remember this maxim: more is caught than taught. More is caught than taught. You've had this experience. I know you have. I have way too many times probably. When your child reacts or says something or does something, and you watch it and you hear it and you go, oh my gosh, that's just like me. Right? You've had that happen. That's just the way I am. Now, it's not all bad, but it's a recognition that more is caught than taught. They hear you. They understand. They may be small in stature, but they're large in perception. They watch. They hear. They understand to a degree. And so I'm going to ask you, do the children in this church recognize the reality of Christ in us? When we come together on Sunday morning, do they see Christ in us? Do they see the Word of God being lived out in how we react with one another and to one another? They're watching. Now, I understand, we're all human, right? We make mistakes. There's no perfect parent. Don't get that at all. Life is messy and unpredictable. But when we live honestly before God, when we are willing to confess our sin, when we have sinned against our children or when we have sinned against our spouse, when we are able to and willing to confess that sin when it's appropriate in front of our children, we are teaching them what it means to walk with Christ and to be a faithful follower. They won't hear your words. They won't hear your words if your actions don't match what you say. Hear this from a parent. I have found that I can repeat Bible verses and sing truth-filled songs till I'm blue in the face. But their idea of who God is and what it's like to follow Him is being formed by the way I live when they're mid-tantrum in the grocery store as much as when they're sitting on my lap as I read them the Bible. More is caught than taught. So why should we be in ministry to influence and teach our children? Notice it again as we finish up. So that, verse 7 in Psalm 78, so that purpose that they would set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Two things taught us here very quickly. First, it serves to teach and influence our children to live the truth to our children, serves as a reminder to place their hope and their faith and their trust in God in all ways. It secondly serves as a warning against sin, to not be like those who are rebellious against the truth. The best inheritance that we can leave to our children, far above any earthly goods, the best skill which you can teach them is the knowledge of the glorious deeds of our great and wonderful God and to glorify His majesty. So six practical things as we finish that you can do as parents and a part of the body of Christ. Teach your children the basics of the truth. Use the catechism. It's the best way to begin. Secondly, saturate your home with prayer, with love, with grace, with mercy, and with truth. Third, make your faith in Christ relatable and engaging for children at the level that they are at this time. Fourth, make sure you give them a good, solid, biblical education, and it cannot come from 2 hours in church. It's not enough. Five, weave your faith into your everyday life. Make it important. Make it real. And six, lead by example. The whole do what I say and not what I do will not cut it. They must be consistent. I pray that the Spirit of God will help us understand the weight of our responsibility as God's people to teach our children the truth and to live that truth. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for being so gracious to us. Thank you for loving us the way you love us. Thank you for being a heavenly Father. who loves us with all his heart, who loves us in a way that we cannot replicate, but who loves us nevertheless, even when we are sinful. Now, Father, continue to teach us by your word and through your spirit, and we give you our thanks in Christ's name. Amen.